WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to the student section on Friday night. This is WVUA 90.7 The Capstone, and I am your host, Connor Rolls, and I'm joined with Brady Grogan and Jalen Brooks. How are y'all doing today?
I'm sad.
I'm feeling very happy.
I'm a little sad, but it's... We had a good season.
We did, and I'm and all jokes aside, I'm really proud of the Eagles organization and just the players. Coming into the season, I wasn't expecting a Super Bowl run, but thank you for making this season just enjoyable. So shout out to the Birds.
To be completely honest, I was expecting a Super Bowl run.
I mean, it really depends on. I knew Jalen Hurts was going to be better, but I did not think he was going to take a step like this year, like as in terms of like MVP caliber level step. I did not see that coming. It kind of looks like I was comparing it the other day to I'm trying to think of his name though, but not Patrick Mahomes. I want to say Patrick Mahomes, but we already saw with
Josh Allen.
Yeah, so that's like just the enormous.
Yeah,
but I'm just proud of the team.
What about you?
I mean, so when your team doesn't win, like the next best thing is predicting the team that can win, because then you can feel like a little better about yourself because you saw it coming. And I will say, I did see it coming from the preseason, week one, from every single week. I stayed true with my pick of I thought the Chiefs were the best team in football. So it feels a little nice to know that I had it right the entire season.
Yeah.
It does feel a little nice. I mean, I just think people overthink things sometimes, and Patrick Mahomes on a good team, like that team's obviously going to be so dangerous. And the fact that people were saying this team could not make the playoffs this year is honestly embarrassing as like a football analyst.
Don't look at me, Brady. Don't look at me.
I'm looking at you, but there are high paid professional analysts at ESPN who actually had the take.
Call them out by name.
I can't remember names, but I actually remember hearing who actually had the take that the Chiefs would not make the playoffs. And just as like a football, and that's just embarrassing. That's like an embarrassing statement to make.
And okay. Just to hop back on your point, like, I was with you for the AFC for the Chiefs, and like I said last time when we talked last week, as much as it pained me to was a pain to say it, if you're asking to pick between Jalen Hurts or Patrick Mahomes, I think most people will take Patrick Mahomes, and I just felt like Patrick Mahomes was due for another one. But I still want the Eagles because that's my team, and I'm not going to go against
them. No, I get that. I just fact that in the preseason people were saying this team could not make the playoffs,
it's
I think is just
also
absurd.
I think Travis Kelce went a little overboard with his little post-game speech, but we'll get into that later.
I will own my mistake. It was me. It was moi.
I wasn't calling just you.
The Raiders were going to win the AFC West, and the Chiefs weren't even going to make the playoffs. And that looks really bad now. I am okay with myself because I did call the Eagles Super Bowl run. So
I mean, I'm pretty sure my Super Bowl was Chiefs Packers. So
that's not great either.
So I think I got my half right that counts.
You got the winner right.
I got the winner right. That's what I knew from the start.
But let's discuss this game. So Patrick Mahomes had a big day. He got injured early on. So did Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts had a really big day. I think he proved a lot of doubters wrong.
Oh, he did. It's crazy now. You watch ESPN, everyone's like, this is what we told you. This is what Hurts could be. Like, this is...
No one believed that.
Exactly. And so I hate when analysts on ESPN just don't own up to their predictions. But, yeah, Jalen Hurts balled out, set a Super Bowl record for three scrambling touchdowns. And
I thought he tied it.
He broke it.
He broke it? Okay.
He broke the record.
But... Yeah, I remember when Jalen Hurts first got drafted, they were bashing the pick, saying how bad of a quarterback he would be because, you know, the whole leaving. But, and then he can't throw.
Right.
Now all of a sudden he's throwing for 304 yards in the Super Bowl.
That dime he threw to Devontae Smith.
And A.J. Brown. And all those throws to Dallas Goedert.
He had some absolute amazing throws while staying mobile on his feet, balancing it out, not bailing on the pocket fast, waiting on his receiver. It was a
Jalen Hurts did not lose that game. I think we can all agree on that.
Oh, of course.
Jalen Hurts did not lose that game.
So I think the fumble...
They were in that game.
Yeah.
I think the fumble hurt the team, but didn't...
The only fumble?
The fumble.
There was only one.
That wasn't a fumble.
They didn't reverse it. It was a fumble.
No,
the Miles Sanders incomplete.
It was incomplete.
I don't think they were.
It was incomplete.
Like when he got killed.
It was incomplete.
Yeah, really?
Yeah,
I'm misremembering it wrong.
Hurts had the fumble.
Hurts had the unprovoked fumble, and that definitely hurt us. I feel like if he didn't fumble, then
I mean, it's a touchdown.
Yeah,
yeah.
But also at the same point, we wouldn't, like, without him, there's no way we're coming close.
I don't think that one play had that big effect just because of how it was so early in the game. And it's, like, weird to say, but, like, it, like, almost, like, swung the momentum back in the Eagles' way for, like, in a weird way because the Eagles drove down, scored, like, a really long drive and had a drive and then, like, fumbled.
He was off for, like, 20 minutes.
And then they went down, had a really long drive and scored again. So, while it did stink to get a touchdown, obviously, that time of the possession stuff in that first half was why I think it felt like they were dominating so hard was because of that fumble. Because in the first half, the Eagles were on the field.
Oh, the Eagles were destroying
the Chiefs.
Oh, they came out. It's one of my – for the past two games, you could just see it. And, like, that's what I was waiting to see during the season because that's what kind of made me kind of nervous about the Eagles. But when you see they came out just right away, just putting up points, you could just see they had a look on their eyes that they were getting ready to just go down to business. And, and honestly, that fumble kind of just sucks in general because what made it even worse is the fact that he kicked it. And
yeah,
that's the point where he couldn't get it back, and then his arms were being held. He couldn't dive on it. So, I mean, it's just an unfortunate turn of events, but, like, I don't think that game really gave the game away. I mean, that play.
That's also the same way looking at the penalty. People say the penalty, they're the reason they lost. It wasn't.
Yeah.
Our defense couldn't stop anything. That's
really what it came
The Chiefs down. Were perfect in the second half.
They were. Offensively, yes. Their defense was...
Defense, yeah. I'm saying they make the offense and like, against the Eagles' defense. Like, the Chiefs were legit. Like, I don't care. Like, I would have – if there was 13 seconds left on the clock and the Chiefs had the ball and they were down by one, I would put money on the Chiefs.
Yeah.
It's like, and that's,
like it was that yeah. kind of game where it just – like, it felt like everything was clicking on their
and,
offense.
And that's why I said last week I think that this game was going to come down to the wire. Like, because I think I said it's going to be a kind of similar to when the Eagles played the Patriots. I had a feeling it was going to be a shootout and barely defense played. So, for some reason, I just feel like defenses in the Super Bowl – it's either you can tell what kind of game it's going to be within the first kind of seconds.
I was going to say I had this take during the game. I said with 2 weeks of game plan, does it matter how good the defense is for these offensive and like for these offensive coaches?
I mean of course there is, but it's
but
still
I feel
a
like,
lot
I feel
easier.
Like, I feel like the defense actually like it's less. Like would like give Andy Reid 2 weeks like of film to like watch
yeah.
film on the Eagles and scheme up any like we had saw those two touchdowns where he got players wide open.
Well, that,
yeah, like that's
one of those touchdowns where they weren't even in the right formation. That's why Mahomes put him in motion.
Like it's kind of insane to like get two touchdowns where the players are just walking wide open. I think it just shows like with these offensive coaches, I kind of want to say with 2 weeks of game plan, the opposing defense doesn't really matter all that much just because of how. And like smart and savvy these guys are at drawing up plays to get what they want in every single defense, and they have an entire season of film.
I don't want to say that entirely because I still want to give credit to defenses, but I just think it just for it shows you how great.
I want to give them credit, of
yeah,
course.
Of course.
There's the playmakers
right.
that can make
I see what
plays,
you're saying,
but I'm more just saying like you can have this like great defense coming in, but. It's going to come down to just playmakers,
well,
I feel like. Like your defense can make plays and stuff, but the other team's going to be, like, moving the ball well, I feel like.
Yeah.
Like
that's
yeah,
what I was saying. And, like, that's what I was saying, like exactly off that point, that's what I was saying. I think more credit to Andy
like,
than
like
Patrick
that
Mahomes.
Chief, like that Chiefs
yeah.
defense, they didn't play great, but they made that play for the touchdown, yeah. and that, in turn, I think is a net
Did
positive.
They really make the play, though?
It's more, I don't really think they made the play, I just think that's offense.
But, I mean, you forced, they forced this thing,
yeah.
this happened when they were on defense, and I'm saying, like, that, those are the kind of things that I think are important for defenses in these things, is being able to force turnovers in kind of weird ways and like have this happen, rather than being, like, this kind of consistent defense.
But also, how much of that, of the defensive struggle, the Eagles' defensive struggles, can we put on the turf?
Oh,
that turf is a real talking
point.
Let's
get to that because that's what I was going to talk about. I was going to say, I think the field, of course, the field was horrible.
Right.
We can all agree on that.
We saw multiple players slip, and then
for both teams,
but more Eagles players ended up. They counted the numbers. More Eagles players slipped than Chiefs players.
So for me, I think you're going to hear both teams played on the same field, and I completely
right.
agree with that. There was no way about that. But the way the two defenses are played. It clearly affected the Eagles more than that because
right.
you look at the Chiefs, they don't rely on their pass rush all the time.
Mm-hmm.
They rely on
mostly like
blitzes and stuff.
Yeah.
Blitzes and like just being able to keep the offense in front of you, stuff like that. But the Eagles, they're all about, you know, hanging back, keeping everything in front of you, but not blitzing and just having the pass rush do its thing. They had 70 sacks.
Long season, yeah.
So, of course, the pass rush is going to be a big deal, but if everyone's slipping every time they rush the passer, it's hard to play defense like that. If that's how you play defense the entire season, you can't just switch up all of a sudden, which I think it sucks for the NFL because the NFL spent so much money on this field just to have it end like this.
And also, just like, I don't know if you guys noticed, but like Jalen Hurts is a prime example. First half, he was wearing different color just different sneakers or not sneakers, yeah, you know, cleats. And in the second half, he had to change to the Jordans because they were allowing him to grip the field more so he could scramble and run. That's why you saw him like start running a lot more in the second half. But yeah, that has to be a talking point. And then I just feel like before the games, you have to do like a check. Like someone go out there and try to run a route or something. Like I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know, I'm making excuses for it, but I'm because it doesn't really matter for the win at this point. But I will say, I just feel like, you know, the NFL, like, it shouldn't
NFL
come down.
NFL should be.
Should be
I,
was gonna,
I think that there should be, like, a rule where, like, just, like, I would rather see, like, the game play on, like,
grass.
Yeah, I would much rather.
Like nice grass. Because, like, this is a game where, like, you can tear up a field. Like,
it's
like that's not, like, a problem. You got nothing happening after this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so, I'd rather see them kind of, like, put in, like, a nice grass. And, like, there's also, like, you get, like, the iconic, like, pictures of, like, the players with, like, the grass stuck, like, in their helmets.
Cool.
Like, I think, like, just the grass feels, like, a little more fun. Yeah, the grass stains, like, make it just look so much cooler. I feel like in the fourth quarter when everyone's got, like, battle wounds on them from, like, diving and that stuff.
So we're going to move on from the field because we can all agree that was pretty bad. I mean, I was going to talk about the holding. I mean,
we can talk about that, let's but just, it's not, like...
It's not the reason we lost.
Right.
That's a fact. I think it definitely was a hold. You could see he held him. But it's the fact where it's within the last minute of the game. The ball wasn't even close in the Super Bowl.
And a light.
It's come on.
It's a foul, or like technically it's a flag, but that is a very.
It's he's not impeding his progress.
And Juju wasn't going to catch that ball.
I was going to say, because like Patrick, like I have the biggest problem with it because of how overthrown that ball was.
That's what I was saying.
Like,
Juju wasn't going to catch that ball.
Like if Patrick Mahomes puts that ball in a spot where Juju can maybe get it, then like you have to make that call. Like you really do have to make that call then. But the fact that Patrick Mahomes skied the ball and Juju was not going to be close to making a play on it. Just you can't throw that flag there.
Yeah, exactly. It's too big of a situation. The risk reward's too high, and I just think the NFL. Who knows? I think if it's 3rd and 8, and they had gotten it, they would have gotten the kick, and there had been a lot more time left. Who knows what would have happened? Maybe we got an exciting.
It's kind of just like a bummer, just because it was such a good game,
yeah,
and then for it to like end. With
it was
a
good
penalty,
game.
And then the Chiefs kneeing it like 3 times, and then just the field goal. It didn't feel. And then also the Hail Mary by Hurts was kind of.
I think
he said he slipped. I know, like before he threw, because he got one.
Also,
I think
he did. Slip. I saw.
No,
I
he think, did, but yeah. I was just saying it just left me like feeling
also
a little
unfilled. Think his shoulder's a little bit hurt. I feel like that's also playing into it a little. Bit.
I don't know how long
he
we
said
can
his
go
plant foot
that.
Slipped when he went to throw, and it just
that's
like
right.
The ball turned.
And I'm not surprised his plant foot slipped, but
yeah.
So last thing before we go into break, I just want to talk about actually.
You want to talk about like
what would you rank Jalen Hurts after that amazing game?
Or do I have him the QBs rankings?
Yes. What like would you have him top 5?
I'll tell you, I have the only person I have him Patrick Mahomes. I'm going to tell you the people above him for me: Patrick Mahomes and maybe and Joe Burrow. And I think that's probably it. I don't think there's any after what we saw this season. I'm not putting Herbert above him.
I'm not putting Josh Allen.
I'm not putting Josh Allen. I'm not putting Tua. I'm not putting Lamar. I think Lamar. We're still waiting for that next step from Lamar. Like we're waiting for Lamar to do what Jalen Hurts just did.
Yeah, Lamar. Lamar's he has a good arm. He can run. I like what he brings to the table, but he hasn't really progressed the same way.
Time out. I think Lamar is still better than Jalen Hurts. Like. I think the team.
What?
The team Lamar's on.
Okay. Wait.
The team's Lamar's on.
It's not.
I think.
Yeah.
Is
I was
like,
gonna say to the point like, Lamar seems not built. I mean, it's built around him for him. Like, but I'm saying it's not as good as the Eagles. But
literally
I'm
nowhere
built
close. For him.
Yeah, but I'm saying like they're
built
like,
for him.
They
what
have no
way
receivers.
Though?
They
like,
have no
his O line. His I mean, he doesn't have receivers. But
doesn't have receivers or running backs.
You know why the receivers don't want to go there? It's because no one wants to play with. No, I don't say no one wants to play Lamar,
what
but it's a system.
What
system.
Like they have
Marquise Brown was driven out of there. No one wants
Hollywood
to go
Brown,
to
Hollywood Brown, the man who can't catch it when it comes.
No
to
one wants to go to Baltimore because of that system.
No, they're bringing in bad talent consistently.
There's a reason they fired their offensive coordinator. No one wants to play for them, and it's because of that scheme. And they fired their offensive coordinator for that reason to try to get convince Lamar to stay.
I'm gonna say one thing before we go to
Hollywood
break.
Brown is not a real receiver. Like he's just
yeah,
like,
what? Are you kidding me?
He can't catch.
I mean, like
he can't catch. Saying, he's just speed. Well.
Okay,
that was but like to Connor's point, that was the only weapon they had, and they still traded him.
Mark Andrews.
I mean, obviously,
J.K. Dobbins.
I mean, like that's yeah, but that's about it. I mean,
J.K. Dobbins, I feel like has been on the IR like.
I just want to say something. The reason I'm not putting Lamar Jackson over Jalen Hurts.
But I'm not putting Lamar. I'm with you. I'm not putting Lamar.
One is I think Jalen Hurts is better arm talent, and he's been able to progress like that.
Yeah.
Second thing, the best ability.
Availability.
Is availability.
That is true.
He has not been. Tyler Huntley had to come in 2 years in a row for the second half of the season because he can't stay healthy.
Yeah, it's that's why. And plus, like I said, Lamar hasn't shown us what Jalen just showed us. So I'm taking Jalen. I don't think there's any. I think you can say he's probably like a top three quarterback, Mike.
Jalen?
Yeah, I don't really think.
I'm gonna say mine because
there's more talented quarterbacks, but they haven't accomplished what he's already done.
I kind of agree with you. I think Jalen Hurts is just a winner.
Yeah,
he's been a winner all his life.
I mean, it was one winning season.
Okay.
Like, I mean, I don't want to dub him a winner as like.
I just don't get that. But the conversation is like, okay, we take a look at him. So he got drafted. He was a rookie. He got drafted. Didn't play until like the last four games of the season. During that time, they were in. I think they went 2-2. But Dougie P took him out of one game. And then that last one, they subbed him in like in the third quarter. There's no way he could come back. But he came back against the Packers. I think it was just like a one-score game. But the Packers still won.
We were down by, I think, 14.
Yeah, and then we came back and almost won. But then, but we put Jalen Hurts too late, so it's not his fault. But we should have won that game. You saw how the game changed once he put in. Second game, Saints, we beat them. That was an upset. That's like when all the highlights came out of him breaking the defender's ankles and everything.
And then we went to the Arizona where he had like 400 yards passing.
And then we lost to
and then
the Giants,
we benched him.
Or, against the Commanders, Washington. I think. But then, like, you look at that. You see how he just instantly changed that team. The second year, we make the playoffs. New head coach, rookie head coach. We make the playoffs. We get blown out, and that's fine by Tampa, but that's who ended up winning the Super Bowl. Jalen Hurts still played hurt and still, like, was still out there, like, at least, like, balling, like, for us, mm-hmm. like, what we expected. And then this year, just MVP, like, second runner-up to MVP and, like, almost won the Super Bowl. I think you have to.
After a 9-8 season and one run to Super Bowl, I'm just not ready to give him the name of, like, a certified winner.
Hold
up, because we got to get the break, but we will talk about more. When we return, this is 90.7 The Capstone. We will be right back.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back to the student section. This is Connor Rolls, and we are going to continue our little discussion about Jalen Hurts and where he should be ranked in the top five. So, Brady, you were saying something.
I don't know if Lamar Jackson is – or I don't know if Jalen Hurts is better than Lamar Jackson is what I was saying. I don't know.
Are you saying from – I want to know if you're just – because obviously Lamar is more talented. But are you trying to say that he's just more talented, or you just don't think he's –
just like, better. I don't know which one's better. Because I think Jalen Hurts obviously had a better season this year. But I think Jalen Hurts is also on the most talented team in the NFL.
You see, you're just like the media who hates on Jalen Hurts.
I'm not hating on him. I'm not
honestly, you are. Because he's a top two quarterback in the NFL. He's better than Joe Burrow. He's better than any of these.
I'm not going to put
I can't control the situation he's in, but like.
But you can't control how good he does, though. Apparently,
he is doing well. He is doing very well. His team is very good as well. Those are two things that are true. He's playing very well, and his team is doing very well. And I am not convinced that if you trade Jalen Hurts for Lamar Jackson, that the Eagles would be worse.
I am very convinced,
and I will tell you why. Because this is as an Eagles fan, Jalen Hurts brings.
He brings so much more than just him on the field.
Energy is an energy, a discipline, a work ethic that the whole rest of the team follows.
I think Lamar Jackson can bring the same thing.
I don't think so.
Not at all.
Have you heard the things coming out of the Ravens locker room?
Recently. I think this last year has been hard because of the contract thing. I think that is true.
I think it's before that.
You're thinking about contract, right? Jalen Hurts says he would take a pay cut to win. I don't think Lamar's up to that. That's why he hasn't been able to sign a contract.
It's a small thing.
Well, I think with Lamar Jackson, I mean, you can't blame Lamar for wanting a contract.
I mean, you can't blame Lamar, but you can't.
But
Jalen Hurts.
I'm not faulting Jalen Hurts.
No, you're not. But I'm just saying, you can see like there's a difference between two. Like we're not blaming obviously, we all hope Lamar gets his money, and it's well deserved, and he should get his money. Yeah. But I'm just saying that. But we also hope the same thing for Jalen Hurts. But there's a difference, you notice, like, because Jalen Hurts is openly saying, "I know how much I'm worth, but I'm willing to take less because I want this team to continue to be good."
I get that. And I'm still not convinced.
Do you get it though?
No, I do. I understand the energy that brings, and I really do. I think Lamar had a bad year. Because of the contract, I don't think the Ravens have any talent around him for him to produce on offense. It's Mark Andrews, and I think Mark Andrews gets overrated a little bit because of how well of a fantasy player he is. I don't think he's actually that great. Because he's the second best tight end in fantasy, people for some reason think that he's some great pass catcher.
I wonder why he's the second best.
It's because he's
the only receiver on the Ravens. That's why. He's not some great – he's not anywhere close to Travis Kelce. People like to say they're the two tight ends, but they're not in the conversation at all.
So what quarterbacks are you taking before Hurts? That's what I wanted to know.
I am taking for sure Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow.
Right. Okay, I can agree with that.
Joe Burrow's debatable, but yeah.
No doubt in my mind I am taking those two over. Yeah.
Dog. That's about it, though.
I would say Josh Allen is in the
top.
Oh, my
goodness.
I'm saying that because I don't know the second half of the season how healthy Josh Allen's shoulder was.
Well,
I don't know.
What about Jalen Hurts? Jalen Hurts literally stopped playing.
I know. I'm just saying Josh Allen from the first half of the season and last year was better than Jalen Hurts.
No.
He was. No. He was until that shoulder thing. And then in the second half of the season into the playoffs, he was much worse than Jalen Hurts. But going into next year, if his shoulder is healthy and he's back to where he was, I'm probably going with Josh Allen.
But Josh Allen has gone to the AFC Championship, two times? Or right, isn't it two? Or then he just...
I thought it was one.
It was one time and then he was almost two. But he lost for the whole thing.
I don't even know if he's been to one.
He's been to one.
He played the Chiefs.
Yeah. Was that...
Two years ago.
It was
2 years ago.
But
was that... Because I couldn't remember if that was...
2 years ago, we got Chiefs Bills, and that's when they came back with 13 seconds for the field goal.
I didn't know if that was the divisional round.
No, that was the AFC Championship, because the next year was Bengals Chiefs.
But I'm just saying,
No, because Bengals Bengals Bills, Bengals Bills, But Chiefs Bengals, right? That was the AFC Championship game. The divisional game was to get to the AFC AFC Championship game. It was a divisional round. Because I remember I was sitting in the dining hall watching the game on my phone. He's never been to an AFC Championship game. Which he has the talent around him. I mean,
Stephon Diggs is a pretty good player. 2020 he was at the conference championship game. They beat the Colts in the wild card, beat Baltimore in the divisional round, and then lost the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game.
Maybe he was. Okay.
So he was there.
One time. He's what?
And then last year he lost to the Chiefs in overtime, who I think it was a coin toss between them and the Bengals to make the Super Bowl. And I think that's still a great game.
I think Brian Daboll was a big part of Josh Allen's game because you look at it when he was with them, not a lot of turnovers. He made the right decisions. He didn't try to push the ball down the field, and he was a great quarterback. This year, without Brian Daboll,
that's what I'm saying.
He was throwing picks left and right to poor competition.
It's not even that he was healthy; it's his decision making.
His decision making.
That's in the second half. I think before his shoulder injury, Josh Allen was really good.
The Dolphins game early in the season, we saw him make critical mistakes in that game. And he wasn't.
You
can't, that's early in the season. I don't think the injury comes in the.
What's killing me right now is.
I see where you're coming from, but that's just my opinion. I just don't think.
I'm not saying he's bad. I don't know because I don't know what Josh Allen I'm going to be getting next year.
That's what we're saying.
Yeah. No, but I'm saying there's 50-50 chance that when we come back next year, Josh Allen is better than Jalen Hurts.
I don't agree, but all right. Let's move on.
I think if his shoulder is healthy and he's playing like he was last year, and for a stretch this year before shoulder injury, he was playing better than Jalen Hurts.
I don't think so, but okay.
We'll see next year. We'll all find out. We'll revisit this one in the future. But is there any other quarterbacks are you putting Justin Herbert? Are you putting?
I think Hurts is better than Herbert. I got kind of sick of Herbert at the end of the year.
Yeah.
there are certain things that Herbert.
He always goes for the deep ball.
I feel like he goes to the deep ball a lot, and I feel like they get put in situations of third and long that I'm not always sure if it's Herbert or if it's the offensive coordinator. So next year with the new offensive coordinator, if those things continue, then for sure. But right now I would say Jalen Hurts over Herbert.
So he's probably going to still be in your top five, though.
Yeah, he's still in my top five.
Okay, which is all we're all arguing.
Okay.
So we're all
because the only I'll say the only two consensus ones that I'm like, not even five. Thinking is Mahomes and Herbert. Burrow.
I don't think Herbert's top five. I don't.
That wasn't the discussion I was going to get into, but I don't want to do that right now.
Yeah, let's move on. So I kind of want to talk about Eagles' future. There's a lot of free agents this year. I think Howie Roseman will do his thing. But
can I bring up some of the free agents that are might not come back?
Go ahead.
So some of the names that might not be or questionable are Javon Hargrave, which is a big part of the Eagles' defense. Obviously, Jason Kelce, he may retire, he may not. I think Avante Maddox has an option, so there's a. I think he might be back. I'm not really for sure.
I'm pretty sure he'll be back.
I would think so too, especially with that position. Mm-hmm. James Bradbury, he's already said he's open to staying, but he's not going to be cheap.
Yeah.
So that makes me think he's not going to be back. Miles Sanders is the big question mark. I think he's not going to be back.
Brandon Graham is also a free agent.
Oh, is he really? I thought he had one more year left. But yeah,
well, he might be a free agent looking to retire, maybe retiring, or he is actually a free agent.
Right, and Fletcher Cox is another name. We reconstructed his contract so for 1 year deal this year. It's like 1 year, $20 million deal. So I think he's gone. Yeah, I think so as well.
But so I want to talk about Miles Sanders for a second. He had a really rough Super Bowl. We can all agree with that.
Past three games leading up to the Super Bowl, he had a rough.
I think he had good playoff games for sure.
I think
Kenny Gainwell.
He finished it, but Kenny Gainwell did all the work.
Yeah. So.
And plus, as you saw, when we started getting Kenny Gainwell more involved, you saw how this offense started to morph again, like towards later in the season. When we started playing Kenny Gainwell more, we started using like passes with the running back.
Oh, for sure.
And like that's why I think Miles Sanders won't be back, because he's just not one of those running backs.
But so for Miles Sanders, what I have a prediction, because we have two first-round picks.
Right.
But I don't think we're going to draft a running back in the first round.
I don't either. It's just
so hard. I think we're going to go, I think, corner, because I think we're going to lose Bradbury. I think we're going to go the Oregon corner.
We're going to get Joey Porter, but keep going.
There's a possibility, most likely, we're going to get a defensive lineman at the end.
It's either going to be a D-tackle or an end.
Yeah, but I think we're going to go Jameer Gibbs.
Really?
I have a feeling, you know, the Alabama.
Yeah, connection.
Alabama connection.
Yeah.
I think he's a great receiver running back, which we love.
Exactly, yeah. And
so
speed. Yeah.
I really think that Jameer Gibbs will be on our team this year.
I think he would fit well with the Eagles.
Yeah.
I think we're for the defensive line, I think we're going to go either Miles Murphy or Brian Brees. Or Brees, how do you say his name? Brian Bress? Bryce Bressee?
No, I'm not quite sure.
But out of Clemson, he hasn't – long story, I know he's had a rough year. Sorry what happened to his sister, but like, I think he will be a good fit for the Eagles as well.
Yeah.
I don't think Miles Sanders is coming back. I would like for the Eagles to go for Bijan Robinson, but I just, like you said, it's too early.
No, and we're not going to draft the running back.
Yeah, he might be a top 10 pick. But if he lowers though in the draft, would you consider that? Because I think he's just that talented.
Not first round.
I think he's a franchise player.
I think we have way more needs than running back.
We do.
With Gainwell 100%. And Boston 100%. Scott still under contract. So I say we go for our DBs, because that was it's still not even I don't know, the Super Bowl was just weird.
It was.
But speaking of our defense and how badly performed, Jonathan Gannon is gone. Hallelujah.
Yep, Jonathan Gannon is now going to the Arizona Cardinals, which
is fun. Sounds like it's against his will.
Exactly. If you saw the games before that, Jonathan Gannon was like, there's no way I'm leaving Philadelphia. And then they asked him at the Arizona press conference. They were like, so when did you know you were going to be the coach? He was like, right after the Super Bowl. They told me I wasn't coming back.
He got forced out.
Yeah, so.
Thank God he's gone.
But also that it brings up another conversation, because it's not just our players. Like you said, it's our mm-hmm. offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator. And Arizona just released their defensive coordinator, and that's the hot name on the market for the Eagles defensive coordinator. So it sounds like we're just.
Honestly, trading. I think we're going to get him. I'm a little upset with Shane Steichen being on. But who's I think it was a quarter, not quarterback
Brian Johnson?
Coach. Yeah.
Yeah, Brian Johnson.
He apparently Jalen Hurts loves him. Everyone loves him.
He's supposed to be the top name for the Panthers coordinator job, but they just hired the Rams.
So I think he's going to be our – I think we're just going to stay in-house for offensive coordinator. But,
right.
Yeah.
But it's interesting.
Anything, Brady?
I have nothing to add.
The Eagles.
I love listening to you guys talk about all this, but I sadly do not have as in-depth of analysis on the Eagles' offseason moves.
No, I understand that. It's just Eagles fans, you know.
Yeah.
But I just one question I wanted to ask you is, like we talked about, Jalen Hurts is maybe talking about taking a pay cut, but also there's also been rumors of him getting the Pat Mahomes deal, so like 10 years.
No, he's. Oh, actually,
he could spread the money out.
I wouldn't be against it, okay, but at the same time, it's 10 years is a long time.
So that's a real commitment.
Yeah,
it depends on the guaranteed, obviously.
Right.
Yeah.
Like all these football contracts, usually they're only worth what they're guaranteed.
Yeah.
I'm not against. I mean, it's difficult because 10 years is a long time. You never know what's going to happen to a player. you could do the same thing because Carson Wentz looked like the guy, and we signed him to a big deal, and then
exactly
fell off the face of the planet.
That's actually the next thing I wanted to get into, just real quick before we move on. We're in the same exact situation that like caused all this. Like, we're coming off a Super Bowl just a little bit. And I know it wasn't exactly right after, but we lost both our coordinators. We're debating giving our quarterback and like what type of extension. So looks like it's going to be interesting. So who knows.
I mean, your star quarterback did play in your Super Bowl this year, and he played well. So I would have a little more faith in Jalen Hurts than Carson Wentz.
I absolutely do.
All right, so we're going to take a quick little break, and when we get back, we're going to talk about the first half of the NBA season. We will be right back.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
All right, hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to the student section. This is Connor Rolls, and we're going to talk about the first half of the NBA season and what our thoughts are so far about this. Anyone want to go first?
I'm going to talk about, not to keep being like that Philly fan, but like let's talk about the start of the Sixers just real quick. Started off a terrible start. Now, and it looks like Joel Embiid wasn't even in shape, wasn't healthy, just conditioning himself, and just terrible start. Then Maxey goes down. New additions, they're trying to figure it out. But now, if you look at it now, they're like, I think they're the second seed now?
They got past. They're the three seed, but they're only two games back.
Okay, so they're the third seed now. But I'm just saying,
two and a half.
Joel Embiid's like tied with Luka Doncic for the league average in scoring.
Is he tied or is he? I think he might have the.
I think he might be one. I think he was one, and then I think they tied it. I don't know.
Luka's got 0.2 points more than Joel.
So I think Luka's. Yeah, so now he's. Well, thank you for telling me. So now he's second. But. And also, I think he's going to be second for MVP because Jokic as a center is averaging a triple-double, which is crazy.
I think voter fatigue is going to be a real thing. I don't think he's going to get the MVP.
But I don't think – I agree with you on that, but here's the thing. It's never been done before by a center, and I think that's what's going to keep this – I think next year we're going to see it. I think he's going to be the first player since Larry Bird to win 35.
I think there's also like the stat that Jokic has shot under 50% from the field once this season. Is like that's kind of an insane efficiency.
It's impressive,
thing.
But it's like.
What do you mean?
Is it really
under 50% once in the entire season? That means that
I'm going to give him a star or a trophy.
So every
cookie?
Single game, but one game, you shot the ball at like an incredibly efficient mark.
It's
impressive.
It's kind of historic.
It's incredibly,
but it's like really.
Yeah, but like that's probably like, but it I is mean, because I, it's like his 30 or like.
I saw like the list of like guys who have like done this like with like the streak of like shooting 50%, and it was like Rudy Gobert and Robert Williams, guys who like shoot the ball from like a foot away from the hoop and just dunk it. Like Rudy, like Nikola Jokic is doing this, but like back to the basket, like 10 feet away, consistently hitting his fadeaways. He's like, it's kind of insane what he's doing. I think voter fatigue was a thing for a while. I think kind of what I've
if it's going to be voter fatigue for LeBron, then it's going to be voter fatigue
well, I've
for
noticed, like, in
Nikola.
The media, people are very much so, like, lightening up to, like, the idea of voting Jokic for
it's
a third time. And also, they're the one seed in the West.
He's averaging a triple-double.
Not for long.
As a center. I don't think that's going to – I think he might do it.
I mean, like, listen, so he's shooting 63% from the floor, 39% from three, 82% from the free throw line. He's putting up 25 points, 10 assists, and 11.5 rebounds. And they're the ones seeing the way.
That's cool and all. That's really cute.
Stat line.
That's cute.
Absurd stat line.
They also use him as a point to bring in run plays. Like I just think it's so crazy, like him as a player. But
he's almost at a 3 assist to turnover ratio this season too.
So I think for the first half of the season, like my two things to keep an eye on are Sixers, just the way they turn things around, and then the Denver Nuggets out west. I mean, of course, like the big trades that we talked about, like now later in the season.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely want to keep eyes on the Suns. Another team that's actually really starting to put it together now that they're starting to be healthier, the Clippers.
So, I was going to say the Lakers. I think the Lakers are really scary with their trades.
I wouldn't say scary.
I would say scary.
I think they have a lot more depth, and I think I'm curious to see about there's a lot of rumors going around Anthony Davis. And
there is
that he's unhappy, that LeBron's camp's unhappy with him, that he's pouting. So that's an interesting thing to note. So I think you might hear some trade rumors this offseason. I wouldn't be surprised if like Lakers traded like Anthony Davis for like Zach LaVine this offseason.
I remember those two big things. There was the night LeBron took the scoring title. There's the video of Anthony Davis like sitting on the bench, not moving. And that same night, from like when LeBron was mic'd up, there's a clip of LeBron goes up to AD and like hugs him and says, "You know I love you, man." and AD kind of just like sits there and doesn't say anything back to LeBron. And then like just watching, I was like, that's not what like you say to like
that's not what was going on who, like you're first hooping with couple seasons.
Like that's almost, like yeah, exactly. Like that, like your guy comes up to you and he says that. You're like, I love you too, bro. Let's go hoop. Like let's go get this one for you. Like let's go get the scoring. Like something like that. Like it's before LeBron's game for the scoring title. And LeBron comes up to you and says he loves you, and he sits there and says nothing. And that just like I think that's at the because people were saying like after he's like he passed the title, AD's sitting there. But that video from before, I think shows that AD was already like not really happy. I think he was upset that there was so much emphasis on LeBron passing the scoring title and all this stuff, and not about winning.
Yeah.
And like, I think he probably felt even that LeBron was. This season was his season where he was going to break the scoring record, and that was what was going to happen this season. And to Anthony Davis, he wants to win still.
Yeah.
So I agree with that, but I think AD, I've never liked Anthony Davis. I think he was always
person or a good player,
kind of both. I feel like he was really like he's the one that really only cares about. I don't want to say himself, but I mean through the years,
I wouldn't say that.
Well, he would
walked out on the Pelicans.
When he walked out of the Pelicans,
that's
yeah.
Where I was like, okay, this is kind of like
he walked out of the Pelicans. He was finally doing it. He wasn't like worried about. Oh man, I didn't ruin all these
hurts
careers. It was like whatever. He gets to LA and it's all lovey dovey, you know, honeymoon phase with LeBron.
Wants,
But then when going gets tough and he gets injured every time he steps on the court, he's all pouty now. And it's you got to be there for your team. You can't do all this and be we got to win when you can't be on the floor. Anytime you step on the floor, you're going to hurt yourself.
It is kind of hypocritical in a way, but I
think
agree with you.
It's just a lot of building frustration. I think, like, the Russell Westbrook stuff.
I think that was
interesting. I bet that's probably part of it. He's upset with management.
I think that Russell trade is going to be huge for him.
That's what I agree. I think so, too.
We'll keep going, Brady.
I was just going to say, I just think that AD just had some, like, building, like, resentment for management. I think the Russell Westbrook move is the fact that the way it was portrayed to the media was that LeBron kind of orchestrated Westbrook getting there. I can imagine that kind of like a little bit of divide. LeBron tries to like backtrack that I think a little now, but I think it's safe to say that like Russell Westbrook doesn't get there without LeBron like okaying that trade.
Yeah.
And like LeBron okayed that. I think AD probably knows that. Like AD knows that. Like LeBron was the one who got Russ there, and then that blows up.
I think they had a meeting together as LeBron and AD.
So,
but I see.
I've always seen it as LeBron brought in Russ.
The reason I think LeBron brought in Russ is because before the trade even broke,
it's DeMar DeRozan, right?
No, it was the Buddy Hield trade.
Oh, true. Yeah.
There was a. It was going to the.
Miles Turner.
The Kings.
Mm-hmm.
For no.
Not Miles Turner.
It was it was going to the Kings for Buddy, because that's when Buddy Hield was still on the Kings.
Yep.
But they made the trade package, and Woj announced it, Shams announced it, everyone announced it like this was some big trade, and then all of a sudden it's no, this is not happening. They're going to Washington for Russell Westbrook, and that just tells me that Rob Pelinka made a deal with the Sacramento Kings, and LeBron stepped in and was like, I don't think this is good for my team. I think Russell Westbrook can bring a lot to the table, and they talked it out, and then you know that brought it in, and I think. There was a point where Rob Pelinka, this offseason, he brought it upon himself to actually make some moves because we know LeBron kind of wants to play with his friends. That's been, you know, D Wade bringing him into Cleveland, a bunch of stuff like that. I think at this point, Rob Pelinka was like, I'm enough with your little shenanigans. I get you're one of the greatest players ever, but you're not a GM. Let me do my job. And I think they did a really good job.
Yeah, I think he cleaned up around this deadline.
I think so, dude. I think so, too.
I mean, I think they got incredibly high value for what they gave up. I still don't think they make the playoffs. I don't think they're a playoff team. So, I mean, cool. You got good value. You still gave up a pick for a season where you're not going to make the playoffs, I don't think. So, you got value for you good. But in my eyes, it would have made more sense just to eat the Russell Westbrook contract and kind of accept that you're kind of done.
Speaking of Russell Westbrook, where do you guys want to see him? Like, what team now? Because there's reports that he might go to. Clippers or Miami. I think it's another team that I'm forgetting.
I think Washington was talking to him too. But okay. I do think he's going to the Clippers.
You think, yeah.
Because I think he wants to rub it into
LA,
the Lakers' face.
Yeah.
George and Russell Westbrook, you know, we're pretty close. I think there's a really, I want to say 75% chance that Russell Westbrook goes to Clippers.
I wouldn't be surprised, yeah.
I would be really surprised if the Clippers brought him in.
Really?
I just
After that Bones Highlands trade, because I was watching the game last night.
They don't have any playmakers.
That's what I was saying. Like, watching Bones Highlands, I think it's just a score. But like, even when Russell Westbrook, I was trying to picture Russell Westbrook out there with the same players. They had such good ball movement, and I don't know if Russ is going to do that.
I know Russell Westbrook, hard for him.
I think they brought in Eric Gordon to play that bench guard, like the guard off the bench. I think that fits way better what they want. I think that they trust Terrence Mann to be their starting point guard. Like, I think that's what they made. I think what I didn't realize when they made these moves, which I kind of silly of me not to realize, is that they were opening up minutes for Terrence Mann to get more minutes. I definitely looked over that when I looked over these trades.
Inside the NBA was having a legit conversation: would you take Terrence Mann or Tyrese Maxey? So I'm not. We can all have our opinions on that. But that's
wild to me because I would easily take.
I definitely overlooked that.
Those players, those ex Hall of Fame players. That just goes to show how much Terrence Mann means.
Like when I evaluated his traits, I didn't realize that how important getting Terrence Mann more minutes was, because these last three games where he's played out, he's been balling so hard. So the fact that Terrence Mann, I think I would be confident in being my point guard, and then you got Bones Highland and Eric Gordon to kind of play on the bench. Bones kind of. Not the best playmaker, but Aaron Gordon, a guy who really knows his role.
But he seemed bought in. He was moving that ball around.
Bones looked, I thought, better with the Clippers than he did with.
I agree. I think Bones is going to be good for like that little hot spark off the bench. But I knew Terrence Mann was a great player ever since that playoff run when the Clippers went to the Western Conference Finals.
We just hit all those threes.
He was clutch. He did all that. He did everything that was needed to be done.
I definitely overlooked how important it was for them to get him into that kind of like high 30s minutes per game.
One thing I wanted to revisit, because early in the season I think I was all alone saying the Kings making the playoffs. So now that we're here at this point going to All-Star, what are you guys thinking? How are you guys feeling? Anybody want to?
I did not see De'Aaron Fox being like one of the most like greatest clutch players of all time coming.
Yeah,
I'm gonna say I did not see that coming at all.
Yeah, not just that. You got the shooting from Kevin Huerter.
Keegan
Murray's a nice pick.
Huerter's been a little rough recently.
Well, yeah, he's having a stretch, but like
Keegan Murray
starting the season though.
Yeah,
he was looking like Klay Thompson.
Keegan Murray is looking like a steal.
The month of January, shot the ball 50% from three.
That's crazy. That's
like he's already a certified shooter.
Yeah, I'm surprised he wasn't in the 3-point contest.
Now recently the Kings are having a little bit of a slide, and now I think they're like 6 games away from a play-in, or I could be wrong.
They're the 3 seed.
They're the 3 seed, but I think they're like 6 games from being in the play-in, or maybe it's real close.
Let's see. So they're 8 games behind Denver, and then the Pelicans are 11 games.
Three games.
3.5.
Yeah, so there's a chance that they might fall out, but where are you guys keeping the faith of the Kings?
In the West, I would say none of those teams are like, I would say 2 through 10 are like guaranteed to not be in the play-in. Just because like you go on a hot stretch, you go on a cold stretch, I think it's
2 through 10.
What about Blazers? Dame's
two
been
through
balling.
10.
What about?
I mean, I think the problem with Blazers, Dame in the past month has been playing some of the best basketball of his life, and they're still not getting better in like the wins column. So I find it hard to believe that there's something that could happen for them to move into that.
I think the Lakers are going to make it.
I do too.
I think so. So
the play-in or the playoffs?
Play-in,
but
not the playoffs then. Are you saying not the playoffs, or
what are
you
we
saying?
Counting?
He, no, he. I think they're going to make the playoffs through the play-in. But I think the Thunder are going to fall out. I think the Warriors will. Well, I think the Warriors will make a run or something.
I'll say OKC will fall out too, not because of how talented they are, because they have a lot of talent, but just experience.
Yeah,
I think it comes down to experience.
I don't think OKC.
Pelicans worry me.
I don't think OKC is going to fall out. The Pelicans,
Zion. He can't stay healthy.
And the Zion thing, Zion could. I think the Pelicans are going to drop. I believe.
Yeah.
And I think the Timberwolves and the Warriors will move into the 7-8, and I. Honestly, I like OKC a little more than the Lakers. If OKC puts out their best players, which they don't always do.
Yeah.
Which is frustrating. But I think OKC this year, the fact that they're like where they are and like where they're above a lottery team and they have all I really hope they don't bench Shai and like shut him down, cuz like the last 2 years Shai I feel like has played like a total of 10 games after the All-Star break cuz they kind of just like shut him down.
I really don't understand why.
I mean, it's for tanking. They want the better pick, and they don't want Shai to get hurt, so they kind of just like shut him down. So I really hope this year that doesn't happen, and they kind of just let this team compete for the play-in and like get some experience there. Because I think this team, I would pick them over the Lakers in a one game.
I wouldn't.
If OKC's at home in one game, I would pick OKC to win that game.
I don't think I would.
I think Shai is just
is that good, and I trust him in clutch. I trust him in those clutch scenarios. I think Shea would ball out.
I like SGA a lot. But before we get out of here and wrap things up, Warriors, you guys think they're going to make it? They're injured right now. Steph Curry's out.
Yeah, I think they're going to make it.
I think there's
just so much experience.
Okay, all right. That's a hot topic. I'm going to go on a hot take. I don't think they're going to
make the play-in or playoffs.
They might make the play-in. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. Yeah,
I think it depends what this Curry injury, like how long it lingers for.
And that's why
I don't think they can really live without him for that long. And this injury seems very vague, and normally vague injuries last longer than expected. So that's just the only thing with the Warriors that makes me concerned.
So we are about done here, but I have one thing I want to say. There was one thing I called in the beginning of the year. When the Sixers were looking really rough, I was like, why can't we? Why can't we pull a Boston Celtics, start winning a bunch of games, and run up to the top of the East? We have.
It wasn't a boss. Don't even compare.
And I'm proud of myself. And we will catch y'all next week on 90.7 The Capstone. We are logging out.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.